Palm Sunday. I'm so excited for today. I want to share with you real quick this thought that I've been working on. Entrances and introductions, they're really important. A good entrance says a lot. It sets the stage for what's about to follow. It creates this atmosphere, this hype. A good introduction calls attention to the importance of the person or the message that will follow. Think about for a moment the parades that go on when your favorite sports team has finally won the championship. These teams have fought hard, they've sacrificed, and they came out victorious. The fans show up, the fans and the followers, and they're in the masses. They're ready, and they're ready to welcome these champions. Or how about the royal family? I don't know what you think about them or what you don't think about them, but what about the parades? Have you ever seen, like, watched it on TV? It's crazy. There's, like, T-shirts made of these people, there's banners, there's balloons, they're throwing flowers in adoration for these people, this royalty. The anticipation and the excitement to see the royal family ignites the crowd. As the caravan arrives, the people cheer, they cry, they do whatever they can do to get in the presence of royalty. We heard Mary quote this verse, John 12, verse 12 through 13. It says, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" Today on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the entrance of the true King. We welcome our champion. What would you do in the presence of the true King? Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you right now for this opportunity to share your word, to stop and recognize who we are and who you are, and that we are in the presence of the King. I pray that your spirit would speak to us and minister to us right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we just wrapped up a series on kingdom living. If you've been with us, you've been hearing the message, it's this different way of life. We've been learning what it looks like to live in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. See, Jesus was serious about wanting us to understand the difference between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. And so much so that he spent 3 years of his life teaching and sharing the message of the kingdom of God to his disciples and to whoever else would listen. The Sermon on the Mount was his manifesto of this kingdom of God mindset, this kingdom that no one else could see, but he knew and he wanted to bring it here. And he was saying it actually is here. See, there's a different way to live. He taught and confronted his disciples and spent his time talking about a kingdom that was counter to this way of living that they have known their entire life and generations before them. Jesus came to deliver a message of hope and of truth, that there was a different way to live. Jesus was revealing his kingdom. But see, the kingdom only exists because of the King. If there's no king, then the kingdom crumbles. If there's no king in place, then it's just a palace. It's just a place. See, Jesus wasn't just the messenger of good news. He was a good king. He was the good news of his kingdom, and he is the King. What would you do with an encounter with the King? I want to share a couple examples today in Scripture around Palm Sunday, some before he enters into Jerusalem and some after. And I want to point out some ideas of what it looks like when we come in encounter with the King. The first one is a man named Zacchaeus. Many of you know the story. This short man, that's usually how they mention him. How embarrassing if that's the way you're remembered. Short and mean, like he was the tax collector. Not just the tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. And I mentioned he was wealthy, but he was this just, I don't know, bitter old man, I guess. I don't know. He was doing his thing. He was living his life in this false world. And it says this in Scripture in Luke 19, that he wanted to see who Jesus was. See, he was caught up in this moment. He heard the stories maybe, I don't know. He knew that someone was coming, someone that was coming through that he needed to see. He was around the Jews. He was collecting the taxes. He was this despised guy, and he wanted to see who this king was. And so he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. And since Jesus was coming that way, see, here's the guy who taxes and harasses the people of the king that's coming. His natural response, as he knows that this is like the guy that's coming through, he could very well want to hide from this king. He could very well want to avoid the king. Or maybe he wants to see who this king is, get a glimpse of him, but he definitely doesn't want him to see him and know who he is. This is the guy that's like, he's got a bad rap sheet. But see, when Jesus reached that spot, it says in Scripture, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Now imagine that. The king is calling out your name and saying, "Hey, I'm coming to your house today. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Do you know like how I've treated your people? I'm coming to your house today." He could have hid. He could have run. He could have just ignored. He could have just, I don't know, tried to wear some camo gear and stay up in the tree. But instead, Zacchaeus made every effort to see and be seen by the king. He allowed himself to be seen. Now, it didn't make the people around him very happy. They were calling him this sinner. They were complaining about him. They were just pointing all these fingers at him. And how many of us know that Jesus will call truth to us? He'll invite us to be with him. He'll even say, "I want to come and be with you." But the lies from ourself and from others start to creep in and point out all the things that show that we're not worthy. But see, Zacchaeus, as he got that invitation, it says that he looked up, or he stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now see, while everyone else saw Zacchaeus as despised and unwanted, the king, the true king, saw Zacchaeus as loved, wanted, and valued. See, Zacchaeus encountered the king, and it led to repentance and transformation. The king and an encounter with him can change your life. The second story I want to share is Mary pouring the perfume on Jesus' feet. It's found in John chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, and this is what it says. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And if you remember, Lazarus, his good friend, died, and he came and he brought him back to life. Mary was one of the sisters. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Now, there's a lot of different things going on here, and I wish I could get into it. It's like a whole nother sermon, but there's some things that happen. One, they just witnessed a miracle. Lazarus was raised from the dead. There is so much excitement, so much recognition of who Jesus is in that moment to some degree. Martha is back to her old ways. She's keeping busy and moving around while Mary's down at Jesus' feet, recognizing him and saying, "I just want to be with him and I'm going to anoint him. I'm going to pour out what I have for him." One of the disciples is over there complaining. I didn't read this part, but he's complaining about the wasting of the money. We could have sold that and given it to the poor. Now, really, it was greed in his heart because he was stealing. This encounter with the king has so many different things going on, but the one that I want to focus on is Mary. See, Mary wasn't focused on doing things to impress anyone or giving things just to impress and make a big name for herself. She recognized who Jesus was, who he was in her life, and she took what she had, the perfume that cost a year's wages, and poured it out at the feet of Jesus. And then she does something really crazy. She wipes his feet with her hair. I don't know about you, but I would never do... Well, right? Yeah. I would not want my wife wiping some guy's hair with her feet. I would not do it if I had hair, right? Because this is intimate. This is humbling. It's kind of like, "Oh my goodness, are you serious? But no, she saw who this was. This is the king, the one who changes lives and brings dead things to life. She recognized that he deserves more than she even has. She gave him her best, her time, her attention, and her possessions. What are we doing in the presence of the king? The third story I want to talk about real quick, this is the main one that we celebrate today, is the triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. So Jesus so far, he stopped at with Zacchaeus, and then he moved on and he saw Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And now we read the story of the entrance into Jerusalem. And this is one of the stories that's in all four Gospels. It's a big deal. Leading up to this, about 500 years ago, there was prophecy about this day. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And this is what it says in Mark chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, say the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly." They went and found the colt outside in the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing? What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Sorry, this is a lot of reading. Many people spread their cloaks on the road. Many people took things like these palm branches and their cloaks, and they spread them on the road to enter for the king. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Now see, not everyone was excited that day. It says in Luke chapter 19, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Now picture this for a moment. Think about this picture. The long-expected king arrived just the way he was prophesied. The Jews knew the prophecy. They knew what was going on, and they knew that this moment was coming. They start to catch a little wind. But see, crowds of people had been following him. They're witnessing all these miracles. It's kind of just getting caught up in the hype. Many of them, they were just excited. They were just moving with it. They're going, "All right, what's happening?" They're getting excited about maybe what Jesus is going to do as they hear the prophecy of the Messiah that's going to set them free, that's going to save them, as they cry out, "Hosanna, save us, rescue us." But see, others started to grab hold of the teaching of a different kingdom as they followed. They were wanting to follow the potential king, the one that was talking about a different way of living that would change them. And others still, like the Pharisees, wanted to shame, question, and attack Jesus. An encounter with the true king leaves you with questions that must be answered. Who am I following? What is he going to do? Who am I to him? Am I an enemy? Am I a friend? Why is he here? How do we get rid of him? The fourth story is Jesus at the temple. In Matthew chapter 21, this is when Jesus goes into the temple and he rebukes the misuse of the house of the king. He walks in and goes, "What are you doing here? Why are you doing all this stuff? It's not meant for this. It's meant for the worship of the Lord." And right after that, the blind and the lame came to him, it says, at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting, I imagine today watching these kids up here shouting praises, singing with joy in their hearts. Can you imagine? A leader coming up and just going, "What are you doing? Why are they singing? Stop. They need to stop this." Hearing "Hosanna to the Son of David," it says they were indignant. They were And they were bitter. They were upset. They did not like it. They said, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus, he corrected them and, you know, he pointed out, from the lips of the children will my praises be called out. See, the encounter with the king left these religious leaders bitter, resentful, and defensive. See, an encounter with the king, it will always stir up something. It just will. No matter who you are, when the king shows up, you're going to have to deal with some things. So today I want to ask you, who are you in the presence of the king? Are you like Zacchaeus and Mary and the children? Do you recognize the king and present yourself to him humbly? Do you know who he is? Do you want to sit at his feet? Do you recognize that when he speaks truth, it changes you? When he walks in, do you just want to burst out with praise? When you are aware of his presence, are you just in awe? Are you like the people who laid down palm branches or their coats? See, there's two different sets of people there. One, they picked up the convenient thing. Like, think about this for a minute. I don't know how, if you guys can see, like, this is an ugly looking palm branch. It's not the one that you buy online. Like, this actually came from my backyard. Chanson and I had to do some work today. He almost had him climbing on my shoulders. We had to cut this thing down. It wasn't convenient, but it was convenient because it was in my backyard. Some of the people who showed up, I'd imagine as they were caught up in the moment of excitement, they threw down palm branches to recognize a king, but were they really aware of who he was? And then I think about the others who took their cloaks. Something nice. Now, this is not Armani or anything, but it's nice to me. When the king was coming down, they threw their cloaks down. The best that they had. The thing that was really part of who they were. See, the cloaks back then, they covered. They were the outside thing, the exterior. And many of them, if they had money and wealth, they got a really nice cloak. Just like today, we could have really nice name brand stuff that represents who we are or who we think we are. They took it and they laid it down in front of the king. Do you get caught up in the moment and the excitement and give whatever's convenient, whatever's just like, here's a little bit out of my pocket? Or are you giving your best in the presence of the king? Or are you like the Pharisees, self-righteous, self-focused, fixed on the kingdom and the king that you've created in your mind? Are you focused on your kingdom and trying to be the king of your own life? See, the Pharisees missed the true king because they were living for a different kingdom. See, if you focus on the wrong kingdom, you will miss the right king. We don't want to miss him. So many people, I imagine the crowds, and they weren't aware that he was the real king. They were expecting something different. They were looking in different ways. We are in the presence of the king. So since we are in the presence of the king, what kind of heart are we to have? What kind of heart do we have? See, our heart resembles or it points to the kingdom that we are living in and the king that we serve. When Jesus and his presence is around you, when you're aware of it, when you notice it, he's always with us, but when you know and you encounter him, you hear his voice, if you think for a minute, if Jesus was to walk in here, in this moment, right now, what kind of heart would you have? Would you have the heart of avoidance or of attention? When he walks in, are you like, oh man, I really hope he doesn't see me. I hope he doesn't call out what I just did right around the corner there. Or are you just like, I'm looking for you. Please notice me. Notice me. I'm right here. I want to make eye contact with you. I want to be with you. Do you have a heart of worry or of worship? When the king walks in, are you fearful? Are you worried about what's going to happen next? What is he going to say to me? What is he going to do? How is he going to treat me for what I thought about the other day and what I'm trying to do in my life? Or are you at worship, devoting yourself to him? that it's about him. It's not about what you're going to get, what you're going to ask for, and if he's going to fulfill it. But it's about who he is. In the presence of the king, are you waiting for the king, or are you waiting on the king? See, too often we wait to let him do something for us. We're like, all right, well, what's he going to do for me? But see, I think about this concept. I've been talking to my boys lately about getting to school on time. Man, it's so hard. Any parents that like struggle, or in the past you struggled with getting them there, and you're like, come on, why are we always running barely on time there? Get ready. So in our house, I come in from the gym, I get ready, and I make them breakfast first, actually. I'm making them breakfast, and then I go and get cleaned up, and I'm ready to go. The boys, they have this whole routine. I don't get it. They go and they get ready, and then they get distracted. They start playing with stuff, and they're all over the place. And finally, I had enough. I'm like, look, Hunter, we're barely making it on time. Like, I'm kicking you out of the car door and saying run across the street to get there with a crossing guard. It's safe, I promise. I'm not kicking my kid out and just saying have fun, make it to school, hopefully. We're like trying to get there, right? Finally, I told him, listen, I want you to be waiting on me. I want you to be aware that when I walk into the room, get your stuff ready, have your stuff, and let's go. When the king walks in, are you waiting for him to finally like address you and tell you what to do and say, hey, I need you to do this or clean this up in your life? Or are you waiting prepared? Have you been anxiously waiting for his directions, and when he says, let's go, you go? When he says, hey, put that down, you're already in the process because you know who he is. You think of a waiter, they're standing at the table if they're a good waiter. When you go to a restaurant, if you have a good waiter, they are aware of what's going on. You don't need to ask them for more water, right? You don't need to ask them for a refill of your breadsticks when you go to Olive Garden. It's already there. You don't need to ask and be like, hey, where's the chili flakes? Like, they're already thinking about it. How are you serving the king? In the presence of the king, is your heart selfish or sacrificial? Are you thinking about how much you can build up in your own little place? Or are you thinking, it's not mine anyway, I'm going to give it all? It's all his. I'm going to let it go. Do you have a heart of hostility, or do you have a heart of humility? Are you crying out, Hosanna, or are you crying out, crucify him? When the king comes in contact with you, when Jesus is speaking to you, is your heart to fight and resist and avoid and throw off everything that he has to say to you? Or are you humbly saying, yes, Master, yes, Jesus? Do you have a heart of rebellion or repentance? Are you looking for ways to stir up conflict, or are you looking for ways to let your mind be transformed? And last, do you have a heart of survival, or do you have a heart of surrender? See, with Jesus, it's so easy to want to try to just survive. It's so easy in this world of how we've created things in our mind and what we think of to just try to survive and make it about us and not let go of the control that we have. But the way to find life is to actually surrender. Jesus is the one that does the work. Our job is to just die. So what are you doing in the presence of the king? What are you doing? Are you aware of him? Are you aware of the presence of the king? Or would you miss him today? If he spoke to you, would you hear his voice? Or would you just kind of go through the motions? Would you keep yourself busy, consumed? Or would you sit at his feet? Have you encountered the love of the king today? Do you know who he is and how much he loves you? This is a king that's not just like this vicious king that rules over us, and if you don't listen, bah, you're stabbed and dead. He loves you. He loves you. He's not just your king. He's our best friend. He's our Savior. He's a good father. Are you waiting on the king today? Are you prepared to listen to him? Are you prepared to serve him with everything you have? Are you prepared to obey him? This is a hard question, people. Am I always ready to do that? No, because I continually try to go back to the kingdom of me. But I'm called to his kingdom. I am a part of his kingdom. Do you serve at the pleasure of the king today? Like, are you actually joyful to serve the king today? We are, as Pastor Greg preached a few weeks ago, we are ambassadors of the king. We go out and we are doing the work of the king. We serve at the pleasure of the king. But do our faces show that? Probably not always. The question today is he actually your king? See, they were shouting, "Hosanna. Rescue us, save us." They were recognizing him as a king. They were laying down palm branches just as they would do for a king that enters the city. But so many people, they do this just kind of in this, I just have to do it. It's what we have to do. See, most of them, they were declaring him Messiah to come and save them from Rome in that moment. They were thinking, all right, here comes this guy that does miracles and he's going to save us from the Roman Empire. He's going to save us from those people that treat us bad. See, some of them, they were beginning to understand that he was the king of a different realm. He would save them, not from Rome, but from hell. See, they saw him as king of the Jews, many of them, but they did not see him as king of their own heart. Is he king of your heart today? See, it's easy for us to grasp the concept of Savior compared to master and king. In this society today, I like the idea, I'm just going to say for myself, I like the idea of someone that's going to come in and help me and care for me and rescue me, right? But master? King? See, Jesus is both. Do you live as if he is actually king of your life? What kingdom are you loyal to today? What kingdom are you living in? The kingdom of me or the kingdom of God? The kingdom of King Jesus. So you can travel back and forth between two kingdoms. You can keep going all over the place in those two different worlds, but you cannot have dual citizenship. Your loyalty and your way of living is one or the other. You can't serve two masters. We proclaim Hosanna. Blessed is the King. We cry out to him. We sing these songs, but then do our hearts and do our actions follow? So we've learned today this process or this step that Jesus took. We look at what Jesus has done from birth all the way up until death. A humble servant king. We talk about that a lot, that Jesus is this humble servant, that he was the servant to all. And it even talks about in Philippians how he humbled himself even to the point of dying on a cross. And we look at that and sometimes we get confused about who our king is because we see that image and we go, that's all Jesus is, right? He's this humble person. And yes, he is. But I want to paint a different picture today. As I think about this, as I think about the two different options that we have to live for ourselves or for the kingdom of God, to live for the king of me or the king of Jesus, I want to paint the full picture. Jesus is the humble servant king who rode in on a donkey instead of this big steed. Jesus is this king that came in and he washed his disciples' feet instead of telling people to go and serve him all the time. But this is what Revelation 19, 11 through 16 says. It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Close your eyes for a minute. I want you to picture this. As I read this, I think this will be helpful. I saw there before me a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages wars. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written. And if you know this name, go ahead and claim it with me. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the king that we have. We don't just have this quiet king that came through. Yes, he's humble. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he has sacrificed everything for us. But he's also victorious. It doesn't end with him coming through and dying on a cross. It goes on to him beating death, conquering sin for us, destroying the plan of the enemy, and making your name new. And so all I can think of in this moment is if Jesus was to walk in right now, and as we know that we are in his presence, all I can say is hail to the King. Hail to King Jesus. But are we aware? Are we thinking that? Are we living that? Today, my challenge to all of us is that we would live like we really serve the true King. Let me pray for you guys today. Lord, King Jesus, Master, Savior, worthy is your name. You are so great. I thank you for the example that you set. You didn't just preach about a different way of living. You didn't just preach about being a servant to all. You actually lived it. You walked what you taught. I pray, Lord, right now that we would just ask these questions before you. For everyone in this room, we are in the presence of the King. Where are we at? Who are we? Who are we in comparison to you? I want you to just think for a moment and ask God this question. Am I aware of the presence of the King today? Are you really aware? Do you realize that you are in his presence, that you can have an encounter with him right now, that you can hear his voice right now, that he is the King, that everything else is silenced, that if lies want to speak up, they have no authority over your life? Satan has no authority over you. You are the King's. You are in his presence. Have you encountered his love? If you're unsure, or even if you are sure, the question to ask today is, Jesus, what does your love look like? What does the love of the true King look like in my life? How do you love me? Ask him right now, am I waiting on you, King Jesus? Am I waiting for you, or am I waiting on you? Am I ready to serve you? What do you want me to do? Let me be aware of you. Some of us, we may really struggle with just not having the joy as we walk around. Maybe we say, yeah, I'm a faithful servant of the King. I'm going with him. I'm doing what he calls me to do. But our life is lack of joy. Do you serve the pleasure of the King? Are you not only serving for his pleasure, but are you just in full joy to be able to serve him? Recognize who you are and what you get to do. Zacchaeus, he saw this. He realized the opportunity to live different. Mary recognized that she had the opportunity to give everything she had in that moment. What do you have for the King? Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to us, that you would make us aware of your presence, King Jesus. That we know who you are, and that we would surrender. We would truly surrender to you. We would surrender our own little kingdoms that we try to build. We would surrender our false identities that we've created, or that we've taken on. We would surrender the fear that is gripping us. The desire to control, and that we would surrender to you and say, "Hail to the King." I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, King Jesus, for who you are. Make us more aware of your presence every moment. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to continue to play. If you have maybe just a thought in your head that God's still working through, I just want to encourage you, don't let this moment go away. Allow yourself just to press in, and I want to invite the elders, if you would come join me up to the stage left and stage right. If you have a prayer request, maybe you would like elders to pray with you, I want to encourage you to do so. But let this be an opportunity right now just to confirm in your spirit what God's saying to you. If you got to head out, God bless you. You're in no obligation to stay. We just asked if you would take your conversation outside so we can just make this place just for a moment. It'll just be a few moments, an opportunity just to hear from the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you desire to set us free. God, that was your desire from the beginning of time, to be with us, to dwell with us, your children, that we can live in freedom with you. I pray, Lord, that we would choose the right kingdom today, where there's freedom, where there's life. Jesus, where you're on the throne, may we be glorified. May you be glorified, Lord. As we celebrate your goodness, as we celebrate your triumphant entry this week, may we go out today, be your ambassadors. And may we be at peace with who you've made us to be. May you be glorified, Lord God, I pray, as we go today. In Jesus' name.